It's time for another episode of Mars Stars on VIP Conduit. This month, we welcome Lisa Parrott and Judy Gifford as they tell us their stories of their travels to Belize. Get ready to be totally enthralled. Good evening and welcome to the March edition of Mars Stars. It's great to be here, and we have a really kind of an exciting lineup for you tonight because we're going to be comparing the stories of two very special ladies who have traveled to Belize on different trips, different types of trips. Lisa Parrott, who has traveled on a specific mission trip, and my friend Judy Gifford, who has traveled just to visit some friends who are missionaries there. And so I thought it might be fun to compare their stories and their experiences and things like that. First of all, I'd like to welcome both of you to Mars Stars. And Judy, it's great to have you here for the first time.
It should be an interesting adventure. I've never done anything like this before, but be glad to share what I can about Belize.
All right. And Lisa, glad to have you here as well.
Glad to be here. And I'm anxious to share too.
First of all, I'm kind of interested in just a little bit of, your backgrounds. I'll ask you first, Lisa. Were you raised in a Christian environment?
I was the 11th child in my family, the last one, and we was raised in church. I was raised in church all my life. I think Mom and Dad got saved probably about the middle of their kids, but of course I was pretty much been in church my whole life. And then me and Donnie met when I was 16, and then we married when I was 17. And he had just got called to preach, so he didn't have no wheels. So when we got married, he immediately started, we'd been married like 2 weeks, and he had a revival scheduled, I think, in Ohio, wasn't it, Donnie? So he got wheels, and we went traveling.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. And Judy, what about you?
Well, my background is from a traditional church home. Raised in church activities and things like that. But about in my 30s, I kind of had a reawakening and desiring to have a relationship with the Lord instead of just having it by name. But anyway, I have been very active in helping with groups, you know, like the children's group at church, the singles group at church, and things like that.
So since I have the key down for you, mm-hmm. I'll ask you, Judy, how did you get interested in mission work, and what was your first mission experience?
Oh, boy. Well, the first time I did anything that was called mission was I had 2 years in Germany. It was a short-term mission appointment, and I was working at a teen challenge center there and in the office. I just kind of wanted to do something different. I was kind of restless with my job and that kind of a thing, and had become active in the church and wanted something exciting to do. So that was the first time I was out of the country. And then I hadn't been anywhere for many years, maybe about, that was probably about 30 or 40 years later. I went to Dominican Republic just 2 years ago and spent less than a week there from ladies in church. And that kind of got me back into thinking, yeah, I can fly. I can visit other countries. This is exciting. And then another lady from our church who is a missionary in Belize, I was kind of befriending and getting to know her better while she was on furlough, and then when they were going back, I said, I want to go, and I went back with them.
So that's how you wound up going there. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa, what about you? How did you get interested in mission work?
Our son, he started preaching when he was like 10. And when he was 17, the church that we're at now, Souls Harbor, sort of took him under their wing. And they had already, by the time he was 17, he had been on several mission trips with the church. But they made him youth pastor when he was 17. And now he is the lead pastor. He's 40 now. And so he went, I think he was 13 when he went on his first mission trip. And I hadn't been out of the country or on anything till when he's got been active in going on mission trips with them, it got me to wanting to go. So the first couple that we did, we just did within the United States, just went out on toward the East Coast and went to a couple of different places and did some mission work. And then their church started going to Belize, and they knew this couple that was over there doing that had a missionary place that they could stay and do mission work in Belize. So then I started going with them. And then after I went the first time, I just kept going back because I loved it.
How many years have you been going?
I'd say they've been going about 10 years, and I probably went about 7 times with them.
What was your longest mission trip? I know, Judy, yours was Germany.
Yeah, that's 2 years there. But
yeah. What was your longest mission trip, Lisa?
Probably the longest, maybe 12 days. And Belize is the only place that I've went. I haven't went any farther than Belize. And probably the longest time that I've stayed is probably about 12 days. Because, of course, you got to think, when I'm gone, I'm leaving Donnie. So I probably wouldn't leave him no longer than that.
So the connection in Belize was both of you knew somebody that had gone there. Do you know how long Deb and her husband have been there, Judy?
Well, she's been back and forth from there probably, maybe 6 years or so. But 2 years ago, she completed having a house built for the two of them. Because he has disabilities, she needed to have a house that was on a level walk-in and stuff like that. So she had a lot of the homes there are kind of on stilts. So just a common already house would not have worked for them. So they've lived there for about 2 years now, more full-time. She lived there full-time about 4 or 5 years. They would like to kind of get citizenship in both, but you have to be there for so many months and medical reasons they can't quite handle that yet.
So what area were you in?
Me, with them, they live in a little, one of the villages called Unitedville. And there's not a whole lot of highways in Belize, but there is one that goes generally east and west. And that was mainly the part that I got to see or visit. One day we go one direction and another day we go the other direction to the various highlights. So that was where I was most of the time, along that road from Belize City to and across to the west.
What area were you in, Lisa?
Like she said, there's a main highway that goes east and west and a main highway that goes north and south. And that basically is the only two main roads in Belize. We would fly into Belize City, which is north Belize, and we would take a bus ride, like a school bus, an old school bus that Jimmy and Angel own. And they take us probably about four and a half hours down to the bottom tip. Punta Gora is the town, but they're a little bit, probably about, and that's a town right on the coast, bottom coast of Belize. And they're probably about 10, 15 miles back. North is where their town, it's the Toledo District, Laguna Road is actually where they're from. Her dad, Angel's mom and dad, actually started the mission there and built the buildings. And then when he passed away, Jimmy and Angel kept the work going. So they've been down there a long time. I would say that Angel is probably 20 years familiar with the area. So we feel real safe when we're down there. But it's on the tip end to bottom of Belize.
Are they both American?
They are. They're from Kokomo, Indiana. And when you're down there, you've got the hills of Guatemala on one side, and then across the ocean, you can see Honduras. So that's how close they are to Guatemala and Honduras.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was close to Guatemala than I was to the ocean. But not south like you were.
So I know, Judy, you didn't go there specifically for mission work this time, but I know you were involved in some things in working with children and things like that. Explain that.
Okay. The friends I went down there with, we were suffering from jet lag the first few days, so she didn't get into the routine work of what she was doing. She works with the women's ministry once a month and has a local get together with up to maybe 80 women. And that's kind of what I was looking forward to joining, because we both love crafts and she would always have a craft for the ladies to do. But that couldn't get organized while I was there for a week. But they did rally around to have a day at the local school where we could read to the kids. And I think she did that quite often. So she had me pick out a book from her collection of kids' books and a craft project from her. She has kind of like a workshop room that's full of a lot of craft materials. And so I read to the earlier grades in the morning, and we made a little windsock that had stickers and things that they could put on them. And then in the afternoon, it was over to a middle school type. I think that we would consider it about second to fifth grade or something. I read a different story there, and we decorated a balloon, but it was all paper. And what's cool about all this is it's outdoors, most of it. Things are so open because the weather, it was ideal while I was there. It's the best that they have all year. This was the first week in January. And the upper grades, we were outside in what you would recognize as a picnic pavilion. Needless to say, all the little paper pieces were blowing all over. It was a pretty colorful little snowstorm we had in that pavilion that we had to clean up afterwards. But the story was not really scriptural or anything, but one was teaching about sharing, and another lesson was different kinds of transportation and that kind of a thing.
And Lisa, since you've been there for several years, each year that you went there, were you involved in different activities or were they all pretty much similar?
This time we went with the intention of making some church pews. So when we got there, we had sent money down and they had bought all the materials for 10 church pews, all the screws and all the stuff that had to be welded together for the legs, and then the wood that we had to saw and sand and paint. So we actually made 10 church pews for a church that didn't have any, well, they had pews, but it was just like concrete, a couple concrete blocks with a board across them. So we actually made them church pews. We also got to visit two schools while we was there. And what we done before we left was came up with a program. This year, our theme was "You Are the Light of the World." And we a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. And then some more scriptures that went along with that. But anyway, we did a lesson. We did a puppet show about the light of the world. We sung a lot of songs like This Little Light of Mine and different things. And when we would go in the schools, they would all bring their chairs out, and we would sit out in the yard of the school, and we'd have our little program, and we played several games, and then we would have things to pass out to them. This year, we took a lot of water guns, and oh my goodness, they were such a big hit. A lot of the kids said, oh, we wanted water guns, but we saw them at the store, but we never have been able to have enough money to buy one. And so all the kids got water guns. We would take them popsicles. We would buy boxes of apples while we was down there at the coast. Belize, they can grow oranges, they can grow pineapple, they can grow all that stuff, but apple trees won't grow because they need the dormant time of winter, and they don't have winter. So if you will, if you can go to the coast and where the fruits and stuff are brought in from the ships, then you can buy boxes of apples. And every time we go, we buy boxes of apples and take to the schools because the kids, oh, they love an apple because they don't never get an apple. And they can't help but bite into that apple. So, and then sometimes we go at Christmas time and we have Christmas with a school. We'll visit 2 or 3 schools a day. But this time we got to visit 2 schools and 2 churches. And we took stuff to the kids and had church services with them. So it's just according to what you go for. If you go at Christmas time, you mostly visit schools and give Christmas presents before the break. But this time we went with the intentions of making the pews and handing out rice and beans. We always make sure to take the kids I think they usually give a couple pound of rice and a couple pound of beans to each child. We buy them in big old sacks when we get over there, and then we scoop them out in smaller bags and quart bags, and we take make sure that each child gets a bag of rice and beans. And that's like feeding the family, you know, a meal. And that's always a big hit too.
Wow. That's pretty cool. One thing that I thought was interesting is I thought that there were a lot of people that didn't speak our language, but Judy, you said a lot of people spoke English where you were.
Well, English is the official language for the country, but a lot of them, they also know Spanish, and they have their own Creole language also that is amongst them, but the official is English.
Where you were, did they mostly speak English, Lisa?
They start teaching them English when they go to school, so they're not familiar with English until they get to school, and then the school teaches them English. The only problem, like when you go to the churches, you're mostly with older people and they don't understand. Most of the time, the older people don't understand unless they picked it up from the kids. But most of the kids know English.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be the difference between those in the villages where we were versus the more native out in the country, so to speak, I'm sure.
So, were you actually in a city, Judy?
It's a village on the map, but not really. We're a little bit outside, but the ministry there is called Oasis Ministry, and the full-time missionaries have kind of a compound there where they have a couple of dormitories for boys and girls, and then they have a place where the general assembly is kept, and so that is all fenced in, and there's his family and a couple other families that are there full time to live right there. They are doing a lot of building homes for people down there. When we send work groups down there, they go down to help build a home. The villages aren't very big.
Our church has been sending missionary troops down there for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of full-time missionaries that our specific church supports. One of them is the Oasis, the one that I mentioned, and there is another one that's closer to the coast, and they do more for the abused women and trafficking and unwanted pregnancies or unplanned pregnancies and things like that. So that's why we have sent youth groups down there and adult work groups too.
Very interesting. Can you pick out one incident, Judy, from your trip that really stands out as unique or memorable?
Oh boy, I'm not real good at thinking on my feet. But
well, you're sitting down.
Oh, that's right. Anyway, spur of the moment thinking. It was just wonderful weather, and I was spoiled by the hospitality that I received. But it was also clean, I thought. And the kids, of course, as always, they're just happy to see people and get attention and have something new. And they may not have a lot, but they're happy.
So Judy was talking about a compound, a missionary compound. Is that the type of facility that you stayed at, Lisa?
It is. It was a piece of land that her dad, that Angel's dad, had purchased, and it had several buildings on it, and it was able to hold. They had like a women's and a men's place. So yeah, that's like we stay at too, and it's gated, so you feel real safe while you're there. And they also had a guard, one of the Belize men that came in, and they have two dogs. Had two dogs, so I feel very safe when I'm there.
Judy, one thing that you did that I don't know if you got an opportunity to do much of, Lisa, is that you actually went into a couple of the stores and things like that. What was that like?
Well, they had the local village grocery store. There was the garage down the road that could compare to Quick Trip. The shelving wasn't as pretty, but I mean, there were not 10 selections of a certain thing there, but they had all you could need. And not too far away, they had a place that my friend called the Walmart of Belize. They had everything. They had toilets, they had the groceries, they had fabrics and craft items and plumbing on the one side with electrical and plumbing and all of those things. So where I was along that highway, we could get to most anything quite soon, quite easily. The other convenient thing is the American dollar is accepted most all of those places, a 2-to-1 exchange. So it was easy to shop, you know, and they give you the change in their money. But yeah, so along that main drag, there were places you could find these things.
Did you come home with any souvenirs?
Oh, my goodness. I splurged on souvenirs. I think I had 4 T-shirts. And then I brought things back for friends, too, little beaded trinkets and keychains and things like that. Hopefully, a lot of them were made there and not imported. Yeah, there was no tag saying they were necessarily made there. But I did not go to the coast where the beaches are and the tourism is. So that was one thing that was different.
I think that's neat, though. You actually got to see the way the people actually lived, and you were kind of away from all that commercialism that draws people in.
Exactly.
And I just think that's really cool. You got to immerse yourself into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to see anything extra when you were there ever, Lisa?
Yeah, when you're down there in the southern part, it like Angel wanted to have, she fixed us like a we would call lasagna one night, and she wanted to do ricotta cheese in it. And she went to several stores down in there and could not find the ricotta cheese. A truck, it's very hard to get stuff in there. And they had like some kind of a holiday that a truck hadn't run. But now when we was in Belize City, where you fly out of, there was, it's like she said, there's stores where they can get stuff. In fact, I'll tell you one of my most memorable thing, and you'll see the difference of where they have to go to get stuff. When you're down in the bottom of Belize, stuff is very limited what they can get. But there was a lady that I had seen. We'd went to this church every time that I've went. We went to this one Pacific church. And there was a lady there in her 80s that had taught Sunday school for a long, long time, had taught all the kids. She would gather the kids up and have Sunday school. Well, she was the sweetest lady, and I'd always get a selfie with her when I would go over there. And I just loved her. She reminded me of my mom, and I just thought she was the sweetest thing ever. Well, in May of this year, she had a stroke, and she was at home being cared for by her daughter. So when we went back this time, Angel had planned a trip, and she told me before I come that she was going to take me to see this elderly lady in her home. Now, having a stroke over there, healthcare and stuff's very limited. There was nobody coming in to do any kind of physical therapy. She was not getting any kind of physical therapy. So she's basically going to lay in this bed, and she could be rehabbed if she was here in America. But of course, she's not going to get it over there. So she's basically going to stay in that bed till she dies. So I knew before I left. So I asked some of the ladies in the church, I said, we're going to be going and seeing Sister Tonya. And I said, I would love to take her some gowns, just stuff that we could help her daughter care for her. So I took wet wipes, and I took gowns, and I took blankets, and I took different stuff with me to make sure to take to her. So when we got ready to go visit her that day, I asked the guy that had took most of the toys and stuff, and I said, there's going to be two twin daughters that's not in school. So I said, can I take the kids some toys? Well, he always makes sure that we take the little like dollar flashlights here that you can push, you know, and they'll light up. I think you can get them for like a dollar here at Walmart. And he always takes like a suitcase plumb full of them, because they don't have a lot of light over there. So they love flashlights, because they most time walk wherever they go in them villages. So you give them a flashlight and they just absolutely love it. So he put two flashlights down in the bag and put some toys down in for the kids. Well, when we got to Sister Tonya's, and we give the little twin girls, they was probably about three, I guess, them little toys with them two flashlights in it. The mom said, oh, I want them flashlights, because she said the kids will be coming in from school so they can do their homework tonight. They're there with no electricity up in that holler with, you know, in that village with no electricity, and she's caring for this elderly lady, and I sit down with her, and me and her sung every kid song that you would sing in Sunday school. This little light of mine, Jesus loves me. And that woman was as sharp as could be. She still remembered all them little kids songs that she taught her kids in Sunday school. And I prayed with her and just sat and held her hand. And she was as clean as a pin. She did not smell, not one bit. I mean, in that house, you could have eat off them floors. No electricity, no running water. I don't know how they do it, but it was as clean as a pen. And so we just couldn't hardly believe she didn't have electric. And she said, and I'm having to bring the kids in so early, because she said, we have seen probably a jaguar get some of their chickens. So she's afraid to let the kids out past 5 o'clock. So she's having to bring them in with no electricity, and they can't hardly do their homework. So one of the guys said, well, can we get them solar light where we can put the panel on the outside and then run a cord and have a light on the inside. And they said, yeah, we can buy them probably up in Belize City. And they said, well, when you take us to the back to the airport, can you pick them up one? And they looked online and it was going to be like $99, you know, plus tax and stuff. So, and that was in American money. And so, when they took us up, they bought that satellite. And then when they went back down and went in the village, they hooked it up and then took pictures and showed us. So that was just awesome knowing that we could give them light. But it had to be bought up in Belize City. It couldn't be bought down in there where they live. But we did one day, we did travel and go to Placentia, and it is a port where the ships stop. And we did get to see a lot of stuff like you would see if you got off of a ship and you did the tourism stuff. But you got to remember that money, the village people never see that money that tourists bring in.
Oh, really? Wow, that is such an inspiring story. And, you know, it really makes you think about the fact that we Americans live with so much luxury. And I've heard other people that have gone to various places on mission trips say that these people are just so clean and they are very conscious about their homes, and they do whatever they can with what little they have.
Yeah.
And they're content with that. And when I think about it, most of us, we wouldn't be able to handle it because we have so much. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of makes you realize that people don't need a ton of stuff to be happy. And I just think that's amazing. What type of transportation did they usually use where you were, Judy?
Oh, well, I was a car by that main highway, so there was a bus that it probably went from one end to the other. I could have gotten to Belize probably in about 4 hours instead of the hour. We went by bus, but this compound, they had 3-4 vehicles, the different families there, and the roads, it's a 2-lane road, and the no stoplights or anything like that, just speed bumps that were doubled as crosswalks, and you slowed down. There's no way you could rush over them. But so a bus and car would be about it. Nothing like a train. They didn't have that. Otherwise, people in the back, like where you were, Lisa, did they have something other than cars or from when you went to visit this family? How did you get there?
Well, the compound that I stayed at, they had a van and we went in that van, but the road was so rough getting up in that village. The village people, they had transportation, like public transportation buses. And so you would see horses, and I'm talking about little puny horses that didn't look like they'd been fed much, tied to just a little bush beside the road. So they ride them horses out of them villages, tie them to just a little tree and catch transportation and go work during the day. And then they come back and get on that horse. And then we saw a lot of like little mopeds, not really motorcycles, but this was more like dirt bikes and mopeds. We saw a lot of people on the main road in those, but you see very few vehicles. Maybe a few little small trucks, but mostly mopeds and little dirt bikes and horses, and then the public transportation, and then the van, like where we stayed had a van.
Yeah, the roads were terrible once you got off those main drags.
You were telling me that the gentleman that this Deb kind of adopted sort of took you on a tour.
Oh, yeah. in the compound, this missionary group, they kind of have a lot of adopted kids. Their families are pretty extended. And my friend had sort of adopted a child that a mother had just brought in and said, I don't want him. That was just before COVID. She was going to do paperwork to adopt him, but she had to leave. She had to get back to the States where her, doctors and her husband were and things like that. So it worked out that there was a young couple that had just married, and they would take care of him, but they adopted him, actually. And so they live just outside the next land outside the compound. So my friend calls him her son, and this little boy who is her grandson. So they were the ones that drove around. He was able to use the van from his employment and take me to these places. And he worked in the capital city because he worked for the ambassador of Mexico there. So he knew his way around and had, what places to see and what the tourists liked. And so that's why I was so spoiled, because her son was able to take us here and there because he had a vehicle.
Did you go to any local restaurants?
We did, but most of the restaurants we went for pizza one day, and there's one that was supposedly a farmer's market out in the country. I don't know what you would compare it to, but the places where we ate were great. We had good food, but she was talking about the rice and beans, and my friend always kidded, you ask, well, what do they eat down there? Rice and beans and beans and rice and all of that. Well, I did have the first night there, a hostess gave us a meal of rice and beans, and then later on, one of the places we ate, I ordered it so that I could have some of the local food there. Yeah, so we got to eat at the nicer places. They knew where we could go and feel comfortable.
You hear stories a lot when you go to those kinds of places about people getting sick and the water not being good. Did you have any of those issues?
I didn't, because my friends have these 5-gallon jugs of water dispenser right in their home that we use for drinking coffee and washing our vegetables and things like that. But otherwise, the water brought in for shower and washing clothes. We do have electricity where she's at and running water. But that's not a majority of the country, as Lisa shared, for sure.
Yeah, we didn't drink any. They told us not to drink any of the water. And they provide us with big jugs of water and bottled water. And then we had one lady. There was 10 of us went this time. We had one lady that got a little bit sick, but she had never been before. And she might have accidentally drunk some at one time, but we do not drink the water. And one thing I wanted to was talking about being privileged here in America. We visited several schools, and the kids, they can go to school. I think all the parents have to provide is the uniform, is all they have to, and the lunch and their lunch. And then they can go to elementary school. But if they go to high school, they have to pay. They have to pay for everything. So very few kids go to high school unless the parents are able to afford them to go, or they get sponsored to go, because it costs more to go to high school.
Down there, they kind of don't have a use for extra education, because there are not places of employment or opportunity that would use special skills. They would end up coming back and doing what their family did all their years. So it's kind of, whether it's good to go on to school or not, it's hard, a challenge for those kids.
So what type of work do they generally do, like farm work?
Well, they do have the farms for the citrus, the pineapples and the oranges and and limes and that and bananas. Then and there is some factory work, especially in Belize City, that I had heard about. There is some farming. There was a dairy area where I was. We drove through the university area for farming. Otherwise, Lisa, what kind of things did you find that they were doing?
The men would go, how far they went away to work, but there was banana orchards that they could work in. And like you said, the citrus, and they bottle a lot of their juices and they can work in those places. They was in Punta Gorda. Punta Gorda had a bank. They had some shops, some stores they could work in, but not a whole lot of places. We did see corn on the hillside, so there was some farming and stuff going on, but mostly you just saw people at home up in those villages doing just surviving, I guess. Having their own chickens and having their own gardens and stuff like that.
Yeah, my goodness, that is something else, you know, because our culture is so different, and you know, I would imagine that it's almost like going back in time in a way. So I'm wondering, of course, you've done this several years, Judy, would you go back if you had the opportunity?
Oh, yeah, I've gotten the taste now to travel again. And as long as we have safe flying to return, I hope and pray. Yeah, every time I see an airplane now, I think, oh, I want to be on there going somewhere. And so, yeah, I go back again and places if there's things I can do. Not even just to visit, but to go and do some things if I could.
Definitely. Definitely, I'd go back tomorrow if there was a trip heading that way. I'd definitely go back. It's just, I love the people, and I love helping in any way I can, and I definitely go back.
Okay, well, now what we're going to do is we're going to open it up for people to ask you questions, and so you can ask a general question that either Lisa or Judy can answer, or you can address either one of them. Remember, when you do ask a question, make sure that you give Judy or Lisa a chance to answer before you ask another one. Well, I guess we did a pretty good job. I don't hear any questions forthcoming. As far as wrapping it up, I would like to thank both of you for coming and being our guest on Mars Stars. And I would like to ask both of you if you have any closing comments or reflections. Judy?
It's always eye-opening. Sorry for the pun, but eye-opening to see how others live and what we don't need. Essentially, there's not much that we need. Or, people are people. They all like laughter, and they want to have their daily needs met. So the idea of seeing other cultures is very interesting to me.
Yes, I feel the same way. She worded that really good. And I would just say, you know, if you went to any school here in America and you passed out popsicles, the long popsicles that you cut the top off, or you passed out apples, they would look at you like, what are you doing? I mean, we get this all the time. But when you pass out something like a popsicle there, to see a kid's face light up so happy that they can't wait. Or even a sucker that they just have to eat it right then because they can't wait. That is, and it makes them so happy. It just makes it all worthwhile. That's what makes you want to go back. You just want to see them smile again. And they are happy. They're happy with, I mean, they would be happy if you just went and played games with them or played ball with them or something and you didn't take them stuff. But just think that you can take them a popsicle and it makes them so happy. And that's why I keep going, just to see their faces.
Yeah, I'm Terry, but I don't have any questions, but I'd like to thank both Lisa and Judy for coming on with Mar. I found it to be very interesting, and Mar, you did a great job as well. Thank you both very much.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have people like you who are willing to go to these places quite a bit from your home. And as you say, they're so glad to see you when you come down there and you see, you appreciate what we have here and see how little you really could survive on and be happy. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I really appreciate both of you ladies coming to speak to us.
Well, thank you. You are welcome, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to share the experience, to let others learn a little bit. So thank you for letting me join you.
Yes, thank you so much for letting us join and talk about it. Because when I talk about it, it just does something to my heart. It's just like I was there yesterday, and then I get a love for the people all over again. So thank you for letting us get on here and tell their experience.
Well, you're so welcome. And I was looking forward to it because I just love hearing about other places. I'm not always as comfortable traveling to other places, but I love hearing about them. Mm-hmm. And I just was waiting to be able to compare your stories and your experiences. So thanks to both of you. We will have another Mars Stars in May, the fourth Tuesday. I'm still trying to lasso John Harris, and he keeps flittering away from me. So one of these days I'm going to catch him and I'm going to interview him. So that should be fun. But if I can't lasso John Harris, we will have somebody else. And of course, when it gets closer, I will let you know who that will be. And thanks to all of you for coming and listening to this fascinating and interesting presentation. And we will see you next time we have Mar Stars on VIP Conduit. Good night and God bless.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I
Lord of snow and rain. I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in my life.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.